join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Thank you, Pastor Clint. If you have your Bibles this morning, church family, turn with me to Joshua chapter 6. I will join you in just a moment in the 6th chapter of the book of Joshua. Well, the day was Sunday, April the 7th, 1996. The place? Well, the place was the Nassau Bay Hilton Hotel. The time? The time was around 10 a.m. The cause? A church. And not just any church, this church. A group of 30 people counting kids, one family who brought seven alone, with their own blood, sweat, and tears, converted the Marina Ballroom that was used for a wedding on Saturday night into a church they would call their own on that first Sunday morning. Again, that was Sunday, April 7th, 1996. This little church by the name of Dominion would be a church built on the life-giving, life-changing power of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Zechariah, we see that it's spoken of in chapter 4 and verse 6, where it says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty." Now, back in those days, the church was not necessarily best known for its numbers, but it was known. It was best known for its music, its slogans, and its long sermons. Pastor Clint has said that it was not unusual for me to preach over an hour and a half. And so any long sermon that you may have in this location, please take a moment to measure it to the previous 6 locations this church has been in. For those of you that were with us in the early days, you might remember such songs as "Shout to the Lord," a song that was written by Dina's mom by the name of Dominion, a song that we all enjoyed because a lot of the musicians had solos that was entitled "Ancient of Days." How many of you remember that? We also, in those days, sang some songs by the name of "All Things Are Possible," a song by the name of "Faith," another Dominion Church song by the name of "Get Ready." And often, by the pastor's choosing, he would ask the music director, my wife, to sing his "Eye is on the Sparrow." And I know he watches over me. Other songs included "He's My Comfort," "I've Got a Feeling," and "Lift Up Your Hands." Now, just as we were infamous for our songs, we also had a couple, 3 slogans that we would often use. How many of you remember the slogan, "It's time for a Holy Ghost takeover"? That was very much who we were. Not just what we said, but what we did in the early days of Dominion Church. We often had Holy Ghost makeovers and Holy Ghost takeovers. Why don't you turn to about 3 people and tell them this morning, you look like you could use a makeover. Some of you have waited for that moment for a long, long time. Another one of our famous slogans came painfully. At the time, it wasn't painful. In fact, it sounded brilliant. Your pastor got pretty energetic and pretty passionate in a time of prayer and announced to about 70 people on that Sunday morning that we weren't going to do things like a lot of churches had done things. That instead of waiting for missionaries to come ask us to build them a church, we're going to go find 2 missionaries and not build one, but 2 churches as we touch the world for Him. And everybody shouted and everybody applauded, and we were going to be a different church. The only problem was, later that afternoon as I got in the car to speak to my wife, she said, "Baby, have you ever given much thought to how we're going to pay for those 2 churches? We're barely keeping the doors open on this one, and we're going to build not one but 2 churches for someone else in the world." Well, within a matter of a year, enough money was raised to build a church in Equatorial Guinea and one in Monterrey, Mexico. Jim Fairbanks will never forget that trip. We went to Monterrey, Mexico, and we finished pouring the slab. And in that day and time, and in that place of Mexico, they didn't have machines. They had us. And so Jim and I would grab a shovel, and I would stir, and he'd pour in water, and we'd fill a bucket. We'd tie a rope around it, and then we would have to get a little trolley, and we'd have to trolley it up to the second story. I would imagine this morning that our own Jerry Spires, as he sits here, remembers that trip, because the very cement that we would lay on during the day that would dry in the night would be the very bed that we would use that evening to sleep on. I'll never forget a year later flying back and opening that church and dedicating it along with the pastor, and on the first day, it was packed to overflowing. In talking to the missionary this week, they have gone to their fifth Sunday morning service at that church. And we're excited because each one of those services holds over 300 people. Who would have thought, Jim? Who would have thought, Jerry, that all those years ago, that trip would have reaped such spiritual benefit? And perhaps the most famous slogan of all that was even made into bumper stickers is one that Rob Nolan would remember. It's one that Rob brings to my mind on occasion. And Rob, wave your hand for just a moment, because the slogan that was his favorite and the slogan that had a bumper sticker named after it was called Shout Happens. Because we put a premium on praise, and we warned people that for tough spiritual stains, you might have to shout them out. How many of you have ever shouted at your spouse? What concerns me is how public some of you go with your public demonstrations of your private arguments. How many of you have ever been going down the road, say 70, 75 miles an hour? You're within the speed limits and you're all alone, and you turn your stereo on and your favorite song comes on, and suddenly you begin to feel someone with you. Though the door hasn't been opened and the window hasn't been rolled down, you are now no longer alone, because in the middle of your shout, in the middle of your praise, in the middle of the worship that you were giving unto God, God joined you in your praise. This morning, I think it would be fitting, before we move forward, to take just a moment and go to the shelf of Dominion Church and take down the 1996-1997 Dominion Church yearbook and look back on some of us in the early days. And so our first picture brings us to the yearbook of 1996-1997. And there in the there in the 700-square-foot mansion located in Pasadena, Texas, on 5022 Reno Drive, is my oldest. On my left seated, that's Taylor. In the arms of that woman is my daughter, Morgan. And no, that's not Britney Spears. That's Dina Wynette Chamberlain Thurstonson I. Oh, the good old days. Back when I was allowed into the house prior before this morning. Our next picture. Let's take a moment and turn the page and look at our next picture. Yes, there I am, Mr. Preacher, in his white pants and black or blue blazer with my babies. As we continue to turn the pages, we now stumble upon, yes, the time that the Bible quiz was promised. If you raise enough money, then Pastor Dina will put a pie in Pastor Greg's Fu Manchu face. Yes, that is not an animal on my face. That is what's left of my beard. And notice how exuberant Dina is about putting that pie in my face. As we continue going through the yearbook, we now are introduced to Jim and Sonia Fairbanks. As you can see, Jim has his makeup on, and isn't that a great day, as Dominion Church is at a local apartment complex taking the gospel around Clear Lake. Our next yearbook picture arrives in our children's ministry. Yes, all seven of them, or eight of them. To the far extreme of that picture, as we go back, you may notice Spencer Nolan. I'm sure Spencer appreciates that. Please be sure and let him know how beautiful he looks. As we continue forward, there you have it. On your far left is Cheryl Nolan. Remember those days, Cheryl, holding on to your son and standing next to Marilyn Prescott, who this morning is standing next to the Lord in heaven. As we move forward, there is the youth ministry room, all 50 square feet of it, of which that bumper from the front of someone's Dodge pickup. There on the stage with Pastor Clint is our very own Kellen and Christy Catlin. As we move forward, lo and behold, it's Casey DeGroot. And there is Way Dean, Whitney Nolan, and our first baptismal in a swimming pool in Pearland. Standing behind me is one of our board members, Rob Nolan. That's one of our first baptisms. The kids went crazy when we had them clear the pool, because they were already starting the baptismal service on their own. As we move forward, we see the baptism. And now we see Kim Sloan, Denise Anderson, and Cheryl Nolan. Cheryl's getting paid to be in this particular video this morning. Thank you, Cheryl. There at a conference is Denise Cutta, Lisa Ross, some of our early years praise team members. There is Clint Casey, Kellen and Christy. How many years have you guys been together as youth ministry team? A long time. We have gone through many different phases of hair colors in the history of Dominion Church. And as we continue to move forward, we now arrive at the present. We thought it would be very fitting as we celebrate our past and get ready to move forward to invite our elders, Jerry and Trixie Spires, to come and share with us this morning a testimony and a blessing. Would you welcome our elders as they come?
Good morning. I am Trixie Spires, and I am blessed to be a small part of the pioneering of Dominion Church. I'm honored and thrilled that Pastor Greg asked me to share with you this morning because I remember the electrifying and excitement of those early days way back when. And I imagine you all feel the same enthusiasm and exhilaration now as Dominion Church is forward and onward to new ventures. From the beginning, another one of the church's mottos was "Discover the difference." You remember that? Mm-hmm. I love the fact that Dominion Church is still not one of the typical run-of-the-mill churches, but there is a difference here that you can feel. You know, I read something the other day where somebody, and I guess it was a theologian, described church planting as the single most effective evangelistic methodology under heaven. I read that and thought, ooh, that's a mouthful, but what exactly is the man saying here? And I suppose it means that somebody, in this case it was Pastor Greg, is called by God to start a new church somewhere, and eventually that church is no longer just a handful of believers who followed the pastor's call, but a building full of believers who were reached. And now, in turn, reach others in that part of the world or town. I like the way Jesus explains evangelistic methodology, and I'm paraphrasing a bit, if you don't mind. "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms or their mother church for my sake and for the gospel's sake, because they're going where the gospel is needed in another part of town, but they will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms and tithe-paying church members, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." It's all about going. And leaving your comfort zone, even this one, isn't it? And making disciples. Making disciples may come with persecutions, certainly with challenges. There's a lot of seeking and praying and work and blood, sweat, and tears, as Pastor said, that is sandwiched between Pastor Greg's call to start this church and what I'm looking at this morning. And there will be more blood, sweat, and tears to come. And what the future of Dominion Church holds will be just whatever God decides, and it'll be wonderful, I know. Jerry and I knew that God was in it when it all started, and as it turned out, God's blessing was and continues to be evident. Being part of starting and growing Dominion Church was wonderful, but it was bittersweet. As the scripture says, with persecutions, you see, the handful of us families who helped start Dominion Church were all integrated at Faith Assembly, and we left friends and family members behind, and there were even some hurt feelings because we left the mothership. The excitement and blessings and Holy Ghost takeovers made up for everything, though. It really did. I have lots of favorite and fond memories of those early days. One of those fond memories was one of the first communion services at the Hilton. Now, I want you to envision that with me. Pastor Greg is standing there explaining to the growing congregation all about the death and resurrection of Jesus and what it means for us. And he goes into the scripture, you know, the typical communion service scripture about Jesus breaking the bread and giving thanks. And Pastor Greg holds the little container with the communion elements. And he says, as we now partake of the goldfish. You remember that? You see, Jerry and I were in charge of getting the communion elements, and we got goldfish. Practical, bite size. And hey, the kids loved the leftovers. Acts 2:47 tells us that they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to expound on having favor and the Lord adding for just a moment. Having favor doesn't just happen. It requires both prayer and discipline. I remember prayer walks and prayer meetings just as what's going on now, thank God. And I remember good teaching and training, and I remember about a year or so into our being at the Hilton, we had, I guess it was the 1 year anniversary, and a lady from the hotel management came and spoke to our group. And she said that the management was very reluctant at first to sign a contract for a church because of bad experiences with church groups. But she went on to say, not this church. We are so happy y'all are here. Pastor Greg made sure we were all trained well in minding our manners, and he strove for excellence in all aspects of church building, church growth, and worship and outreach. If something was not exactly, it just wouldn't do. You remember that? Not exactly. Another one of those slogans we heard all the time as part of our training. And lastly, about adding to the church grew, and there is a lot of excitement when either a new church is started, or as in this case now, the church is moving forward. It's just something that draws people. But one of my favorite memories is hotel guests coming. We had wonderful music, loud, and the anointing happened, and miracles happened, and sometimes I worried, oops, when are they going to haul us out of here, because stuff happened. But I remember one Wednesday night, a gentleman, a hotel guest, came in his swim trunks, and he got saved. Wow. Amen. Dominion Church started in Pastor Greg's heart. It has come a long way by way of a little wooden school building in the parking lot of Faith Assembly and six other facilities, or however many it was. And it's moving forward to a great new facility, and I'm very, very excited about that happening. What a journey. But the same pioneering spirit, the same drive, the same anointing still rests on Dominion Church. It is still a place of faith, hope, and healing. Love it. And I will close with this. Dominion Church, this God-ordained journey is not about a new fancy building, as wonderful as that is, and as marvelous as that will be one day. No, as Pastor Clint already pointed out, it's about Jesus. It's about the gospel and the power of the Holy Ghost, and about you being and remaining disciples who make disciples. Go forward with confidence, with joy, and faith, and trust in the Lord. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. And when the Lord builds a house, they who help build it do not labor in vain. God bless you as Dominion Church moves forward. Thank you.
Well, I'm supposed to pray over this church, but first of all, Trixie had asked me, she said, well, what will you say when it's your time to speak? And I just kind of wander off and just shrugged it off. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me get away from leadership. The church needs powerful leadership. I would like to tell you, Greg is a great leader. He has proven that, not by his education, he done it by setting the example. Never, ever ask us to do anything that he would not do himself, not ever. And those were great times. We rushed down avoiding speed traps and things. JR and I would go down and help set up the church in the morning. And I did stop and get a ticket one time, and I said, would you just please not give me a lecture? Just give me my ticket and let me go on and get the church set up. Okay? So with the church coming along, there's going to be opportunities for more leaders in the church. And I am a firm believer, I can't talk sometimes, I feel you cannot be completely whole or happy in a church unless you are involved in ministry in one way or the next. Yeah. Okay, so would you, I'll just pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, first of all, for your love and your blessings upon our church, Lord. God, I ask you right now, Father, that you would touch each and every individual here, every member, every leader, and you would give them strength for the task that lies ahead. Father, we just pray that you would bless the families, bless the leadership, and bless the church. And Father, that you would see a harvest through this service and through this church. Amen.
Amen. I've always believed in the necessity and the importance of receiving your generational blessing. And this morning, our elders that represent our beginnings have come, and they've stood in the present, and they have blessed us where we stand. And through their words of affirmation, in a sense and in a manner, God is saying, now, move forward. That was then, this is now. 16 years ago, servants stepped forward and became heroes. Heroes were made then, and heroes will be made now. It's time as we move forward for each and every one of us to recognize that we're in a place and a time that we are to do our part and that we are to step forward. We are to step into our calling. We are to step into our anointing and become heroes for such a time as this. As I read from Joshua chapter 6, I'll be reading beginning in verse 1 from the New International Version where it says, Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out. And no one came in. Archaeologists tell us that as they excavated the walls of Jericho or that particular area, they said that they thought there were probably 15-foot walls surrounding the city that would, in essence, in this story, for a moment, appear to keep the Israelites from moving forward. We all have that something in common. We all have chains or we all have walls and obstacles in our life that can either keep us from moving forward or confirm that we're headed in the right direction. Verse 2 says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight into it.'" And then notice in verse 15, if you would, we see that what God said actually worked. In verse 15 it says, "On the 7th day they got up at daybreak, and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army to shout, 'For the Lord has given you the city.' When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city." This story teaches us that hearing God's voice is absolutely essential and crucial when moving forward. That hearing God's voice is the key to doing great and doing mighty things for Him. That it's His voice that speaks to us, and it commands something of us. And it commands us to do something that in our own natural strength seems impossible. But with those things that seem impossible, God always gives to us a strategy. And with that strategy comes His protection and His power. Jeremiah chapter 33 says in verse 3, "To call to Him, and He will answer us, and He will tell us great and unsearchable things that we do not know." That day, 2,000 plus years ago, God whispered something great and something unsearchable into the ears of Joshua. So great and so unsearchable that it was unthinkable. It was impossible. He said, "Jericho has been given unto your hand. Now, Joshua, get into position." I want us to talk about that for just a moment this morning, because this morning, God is calling us to see that something unthinkable, that something impossible. But just because it's unthinkable and impossible to us, it doesn't mean that it's unthinkable and impossible with God. That's the thing that God would say to you. That's the thing that God would say to me. These walls that could keep you from your promises, which I said are yes and amen, are the very great and unsearchable things that in this season of your life, I don't want to do just for Dominion Church. I want to do for you. I want to do that. I want to remove the walls in your relationships. I want to move the walls in your physical body. I want to move the walls that keep you from knowing me as your personal Lord and Savior. This is the season that I want you to get in position. So God calls him to do something unthinkable, something impossible. Then he tells him something even more unthinkable and impossible. He says, instead of getting the army ready, look at it this way. Don't dig any trenches, don't build any battering rams, and don't make any natural military preparations. Instead, send out the men of war and have them march around the city. Have them do this once for 6 days, then 7 times on the 7th day. Then have some more men, some priests, carry the trumpets made of ram's horns. Have them get behind those men who have raised a standard, those men who have become point men. Then have a third group of men. Men who know how to carry the ark of God's presence. And then finally behind them, put some men in the back. I think it's important for us to pause and recognize that this applies to us personally. Because God calls each and every one of us to great and mighty exploits. And yet every great and every mighty exploit begins with a seed. It begins with the first step. The most important step that you'll ever take in your life is your next step. And I believe in the steps that we take that God has ordered, God confirms our direction. I've begun to see God confirm the direction in our church. This week I received a letter from someone who does not actually live in our city, but lives in the Dallas area. He wrote and he said, "Pastor Greg, first I would like to say how much of a blessing you and Dominion Church are to us. We look so forward to services at Dominion when we visit, and we love the way that Dina leads worship. It's been a blessing to watch you and the church grow over the years. My wife and I both feel vested in your ministry spiritually and with prayer. We have been praying and we both feel God speaking to us to invest financially as well. The Lord has spoken to both of us separately that we needed to seed into the new building. I hope that you will receive this in time for kickoff Sunday. I'm sure you're wondering about the odd amount, but the Lord works in mysterious ways. Don't believe me? Look at your neighbor. I mean, this is what we felt we needed to seed. Pastor, let me speak Jeremiah 1 and 12 over your life, where it says, "The Lord said to me that you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." Love and prayers, John and Linda Obel. And enclosed in this letter was a check for $1,224.70. You see, every great exploit begins with a seed, begins with a step. It's called now faith. It begins for us as a church, and it begins for you as an individual. Wherever you are this morning, greatness is on the other side. Greatness is in your next step and the seed that you decide to put into it. About 3 weeks ago, I received a call from one of the newer members in our church. He's a businessman. He told me about something that he had invested in, and he wanted to have me meet him and a pastor in our community. We met later that week, and we met at that pastor's new church. And it was there I began to hear the story of this small church of about 30 people, of about the size of our core group. As I walked through this new building in Kima, the pastor began to tell me how they had merged with another church, and they had just enough finances to get the shell of the building up and to get it built out, but they didn't have enough money to build the things on the inside that they would need. So he and his wife borrowed $30,000 on their personal credit card, and they bought tables and they bought chairs. He told me that in that dedication service, this new businessman in our church stood. And in that service, he shared with the congregation on the dedication of that property, how wouldn't it be great if someday we could even have air conditioning in our new building? He said, "Pastor, we had just enough to build the shell and move in. We borrowed all that we could, and banks wouldn't look at us. And so we had a building but didn't have air conditioning." This is in the middle of the hottest part of the year. There stood a person that now calls Dominion Church their home church. He heard God speak to him. So he went to his business and took out $30,000 and gave it to that church and said, "This is a gift." And the pastor said, "No, we'd like to pay this back. And we will. We're not going to be able to do it all at once. We're going to have to do it at a little at a time. But let us get through the summer first, because people tend to vacation during the summer and they stop tithing during that season." As we finished the walk in the building, that pastor joined with his wife and that businessman in this church, and they grabbed my hand and we began to pray. And man, we felt a sense of God move into that place. And when he finished praying, the pastor looked at me and said, "Pastor Greg, we feel that $30,000 shouldn't stay in this house, but that it should be a seed given to the Dominion Church House. And so beginning in November, we want to give that $30,000 one step, one offering at a time, to say that God is with you in this season of moving forward." You see, God confirms your step. God confirms your seed. Last night about 9:30, I received a call from a new family in the church. Family that could not be in attendance this morning. They were out of town. As the man began to speak, he began to be broken. And in the brokenness of his tears, he said, "Pastor, I don't know where our family would be had it not found Dominion Church. Since we've come there, indeed all things are possible, and all things in our life have become new. Pastor, I don't know what you guys have planned tomorrow and moving forward on kickoff Sunday, but what I felt very impressed to say to you is what we as a family felt like we could do. Over the next 3 years, I felt like I needed to tell you so you would be able to count on us, because we are going to be there with you. And over the course of the next 3 years, we plan to give on a conservative estimate level $180,000 as we move forward." The three of us are going to stop and clap now that was blessed by that story. You see, we are getting in position for the now word that we've received from God. That's what Joshua did. Joshua got a now word from God. And in the now word, that now word was a seed that held the blessing and that held the breakthrough that God wanted to bestow on them. You see, it held within it the power to free them from over 400 years of slavery and over 40 years of wandering. You see, this morning you just thought You got a now word from God and it encouraged you for now. But what you did not realize and what maybe you hadn't count on is that within the seed of that now word you got from God is God's desired end, God's desired blessing, God's intended breakthrough for your life. God has everything in that seed that in this season, if you'll step out and walk not by sight but by faith, you will see the blessings that God desires to bestow upon you. Now the key to unlocking the blessing and the breakthrough comes not just in hearing and getting a word, but in acting upon it. You see, that's the kind of faith that changes everything. It's the kind of faith that obeys right now. Through the years, we've had many people promise us many things. And through the years, we have found that God has always been the one we could count on. But only God has the promises that are yes and amen. And if God has given us a now word that says, yes, I am moving you forward, then you and I can be encouraged to know with confidence there's an amen coming. I was at the altar praying one day for someone. And as this man stood there, he shared with me his need. Another one of our men walked up. And this man said to me, he said, Pastor Greg, I just need you to pray for me that you would bless our business. Because if we blessed our business, we could begin tithing to the church. I have a potential deal that could perhaps reap our business $1 million. Just think what the tithe would be on $1 million. Because every preacher has an installed TI-30 calculator in their mind, we know exactly what the tithe is. Thank you for the, that's right, that is right. See, because the future is in your faithfulness and your obedience. And as I was looking at this man who had not tithed, had not walked in the spirit of being obedient to the tithe, even though he had told me he had received that revelation, I couldn't help but think of something wise to say when one of the men who had walked up beat me to it. He looked at that man and he said, you know what? If you're not tithing on the $100 now, you won't be tithing on the $1 million later. See, it's all about acting. It's not enough to just hear the word of the Lord. We must obey the word of the Lord. I close this morning by bringing your attention to the word now. It's a very important word. In fact, it takes Webster's Dictionary 3 definitions to truly comprehend and grasp the significance of the word now. Because the first definition refers to the present time or moment. Webster says the word now refers to the present time or moment. But he doesn't stop there. For us to truly understand it, he says that this word now refers to the time immediately before the present. Then he gives us an example, such as, I thought of them just now. Then he goes on to say that it also refers to the time immediately to follow, such as, come in now. This first definition refers to the thought before the expression and the moment after it. So definition number one for the word now refers to the present time or moment. The second definition for the word now is used with the sense of the present time weakened or lost in order to express a command, request, or admonition. Now is used with the sense of the present time weakened or lost in order to express a command, a request, or admonition, such as, now hear this. The third definition Webster's uses for now is used with the sense of the present time weakened or lost. And the present time is weakened or lost in order to introduce an important point or to indicate a transition. What this means in the life of Joshua, what this means in the life of Dominion Church, what this means in the life of each one of us is this. When God said, now hear this, Joshua, God was saying, Joshua, I have weakened, I have interrupted your time, I have intervened in your circumstances, and I have defeated your enemy. See now that I have weakened the walls of opposition. Tell your men to man up. Tell your men to mount up. Tell your men to get ready to march up, because by this time next week, if they will do what I say, these walls are coming down. And that, my friend, is a picture of what it looks like when you and I get a now word and begin to march on it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, but we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Because now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We're coming to the altar call. I'm coming in just a moment to ask something of each and every one of you. I'm going to ask each and every one of you to step into the power of now. I'm going to ask an act of faith of each and every one of us before we leave here this morning. Instead of shrinking back, we're going to get our shout together, and we are going to declare the word of the Lord over this church. You see, Joshua's faith, it didn't shrink back in Scripture. He spoke with a God-sized confidence. You don't see him in Scripture standing before his men saying, I don't really quite know how to tell you this, but yes, we're on the promised land, and that's the good news, but the bad news is the enemy didn't get the good news. Guys, I don't really think we can do this. You know, I'm not a very good leader, and I'm not like Moses. And, you know, I've got a past that I've kind of drugged through the wilderness with me. And I'm not very strong, and I'm not very courageous. And guys, I'm going to have to take an offering, and I'm kind of afraid to do that because I'm afraid that you guys will think it's all about the ask. It's all about asking for your money when it's really not about that, but it really is. Are you breathing? No, Joshua didn't shrink back, and neither are we. This is our greatest hour. This is our greatest season. This is when you and I get heavily vested in the kingdom of God. Just as 16 years ago, a small group of 30 people got together and said, with our blood, our sweat, and our tears, we'll take the next step. We'll plant the next seed. Now over 400 people are going to take their blood, their tears, their sweat, their sacrifice, and they're going to say, it's our time right now. Right now with the next step. Right now with the next deed, we are going to bring some walls down so we can build other walls up. We're going to be strong. We're going to be courageous. We're going to be men that step forward and not shrink back. Hallelujah. Because with Joshua's faith as you're being seated, it wasn't if, but when the walls would come tumbling down. Joshua positioned the men according to the now word. First, he assigned a group of men to lead in prayer. This was the first group of men that went forward. Too often we leave spiritual warfare to the women. But can I tell you, not in this house, not in this season, men have stepped forward and men have been aggressive because they understand it takes being aggressive to be possessive. We're no longer sitting down during church. We're no longer sitting back during church. We're no longer shrinking back, but we're stepping forward. We're stepping up. We're mounting up and we're ready to march now. We're not afraid to give when God says give, and we're going to give only what God says to give. So grab your neighbor's wallet and give it now. So as we go forward, Joshua got this now word filled with strategy. And first, he would have his men become the spiritual warriors. Secondly, then they would take upon themselves by carrying these trumpets. They would take upon themselves their role and their responsibility in praise and worship. Then the third group were men who understood the role as priests, and they stepped into it, and they would carry the ark, which was significant because it carried the ark of God's presence. And finally, Joshua had a group of men who said, you know what, Joshua? We want to go to battle, but we don't have to have a title. We don't have to sit on a committee. We don't have to determine the color of the carpet, the size of the building, or its shape. We're going to stand in the back and we're going to just serve quietly. Can I have a good amen? Amen. We're going to put our pride down and pick up the power. You see, they got in the position that held the ability and the authority to take their position. And that's where we close this morning from Joshua 6 and verse 20. It says, so the people shouted. That's what they did. One of the new members of our church, we had a class of over 30, and most of them are joining the church. One of the new members, she's a nurse. She writes her testimony. In her testimony, she says, you know, you got to be courageous to come to a church like this. You know, we've built a lot of churches in the 21st century where you don't have to be courageous. You can come in undercover, not be disturbed, and leave undercover. The only problem with that is, does that faith stand the test of time? I believe it not. So let me tell you how I really feel. It says, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city. Every man straight. How many men?
Every man.
Turn to your men around you and say, no man will be left behind. Every man straight before him. And they took the city. Now turn to that same man and say, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. I know you might be prophesying, but you know you got to speak to things that be not as though they. Thank you, Jim. This is not our first rodeo together. Before I give you what that phrase, shout with a great shout, I need to talk to all the men. Just as I just talked to Jim. In preacher school, they tell you don't ever talk to the audience. Don't ever let them get involved in the pulpit. Don't ever let them be a part of the message. But see, we done messed all that up. Because we messed up in a good way. So you have to understand how God works. God brings men together so they can be more together than they could ever be by themselves. One man sharpening another man until those men have a history together. You see, this is not our first battle. This is not our first war. This is not our first city. We know this direction. And we're not going to shrink back now. This is the time where I consider each and every one of you having a meeting with me. The only thing missing is more coffee for me. And since I've only had 4 cups, I'll have one in between services if there's time. But I need you to man up. I'm calling you out. There are new battles to be won. There are new walls to be built. And there are new heroes to be made. God brought you from the north, south, east, and west. Is that all the directions? Was anybody keeping score? And everywhere in between.
That's right.
To stand shoulder to shoulder. For this is the hour that shout happens and some walls come down and other walls go up. This phrase, shout with a great shout, was the kindest shout that one theologian said, cried to heaven for help and heaven heard. That's what's about to come out of you. You're going to cry with a shout to heaven, and heaven will hear. It means to give a terrifying shout in battle. A terrifying shout. I've paintballed with some of you. I've heard your terrifying shout. Right as I nailed you in the back and you weren't looking, I heard that terrifying shout. This phrase means to make a loud noise by shouting or playing an instrument. It means to shout with great intensity. It means to split the ears with sound. Most of us know what that's like. We were 17 years old in our room listening to Hotel California by the Eagles. It means to mar, to damage, to shout until there's a breaking. Because the theologian says, with the shout until there was a breaking of the exterior walls, there would be no breakthrough in the interior walls of every man that stood there that day. So they had to get out of them what God put in them. So what did God put in you that you've been using for the wrong walls? You've been using that shout to build walls between you and the ones you love, and now God's going to use that shout to tear those walls down and bring power and unity and breakthrough. So those that are arriving for second service are going to wonder, what in the world has God got in store for us today? If this is the sound of first service, what is second service going to sound like? Stand to your feet this morning as a church family. I want each of us to get in position. I want us to get in position this morning. And I want us to begin to operate in the strategy of the now word that God gave Joshua that now God is giving us. I want some of our men to get out in front and just raise their hearts and their hands and begin to pray. I wish you could hear our prayer time before our first service on Sunday mornings. It sounds like a revival in there. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that the men had invited themselves to the altar to pray. I really wasn't asking of that, but that's what you heard. I need a group of men who will just come down and start praying. Start praying. This is our finest hour. You may have never seen the man you're about to see, but God put something in your man to be mighty and to be great and to do great and mighty things. And he cannot be that until he gets out in front and begins to operate as a priest and he begins to pray. So men in the house, if you've not yet joined us, I'm going to encourage you to come now. There is something breaking in this house because there are men praying for this house. Woo! Come on, men! It's time to be mighty together. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Word had the strategy that men wouldn't just pray, they would praise. So put your praise on, men of God. You will be mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. This battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. But God is going to use our hands in this battle. Praise like you've never praised before. Clint, cry out as the Joshua in this house. We will follow you. Cry out above all the other voices in this crowd.
Lord, right now, we're going to be bold and courageous. God, we will move. God, we will lead. God, we will fight in the name of Jesus. God, we will do more in this hour than we've ever done before. God, we will lead. We will follow your heart. We will follow your vision. God, we will build the walls. We will tear down the ones that exist in our community now against the strongholds of this world. And God, we will release, God, a light that is from above. God, we will release your heart into this community. God, not one soul will be left behind in the name of Jesus.
Come on now, men. No generation will go without. All will go with us. Go ahead, Aaron Foster. Let the word of the Lord
come. Yes, Lord. We pray that you would move in us. That your victory would be done. That you would move mightily among the men. That we would rise up and shout your victory through the mountaintops and to the mountaintops. Breaking down strongholds. Tearing down the walls that come against us. As we would cry out to you with a loud shout, Jesus! With a loud shout, Jesus! God, we're marching forward. We're not holding back. Nothing that comes against us will defeat us, for we are more than conquerors in you, Jesus Christ.
Go ahead, Kyle Stevens. God brought you for this season to be mighty. New heroes
Father
to be
God,
made.
Father God, we move into the destiny that you have created for us, Father. We take the step forward that you have called us to take. And Father, we move forward with you as you have said and called us to each and every day, Father. We go boldly as mighty men of valor that you have created us to be, Father. And we declare that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. Woo! Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. And now, men, raise your right hand after me. General Fowler is coming to speak a blessing over this house and over our lives. We will go forward and not backwards.
You know, I want to say first that 16 years ago when we welcomed Pastor Greg and Pastor Dina to Clear Lake to plant this church, at that time I never knew we would be a part of you. But I will tell you a couple of things. From the day you started your website, we bookmarked your website. We have followed your history through those years. In April of 2007, when you asked me to preach your anniversary service, in preparing that, God spoke some things to me so clearly of what He intended to do through Dominion Church. I want you to know that in the past 5 years, we've just seen what He spoke to me coming to pass. And now, since we retired from Christ Church and have become a part of Dominion Church, it just means so much to us. To the congregation, I want to say this is mine and Mary's third capital stewardship program. I just want to tell you, as a church, you're going to enter into something that's going to be so exciting over the next 3 years as you see God provide supernaturally for you what you have sacrificially pledged to give to this building program. And so we're so glad to be a part of the kickoff Sunday. We will be back in time to be a part of the celebration Sunday, and we're giving our pledge to Pam this week so that we can be a part on that day. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you to put your trust in the Lord, our light and our protector. Remember, when the ways of a people please the Lord, He makes even their enemies live at peace with them. I bless you with a remembrance. I bless you with endurance to resist temptation so that you will receive the crown of life. Be blessed with a heart for righteousness, a wise heart to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind. May your inward spiritual man become a giant in God's eyes. May you operate in integrity and as a result obtain favor from God. May the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. May He be gracious to you, show you His favor, and give you His peace. I bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.